crashing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for this Easter worldwide transmission. It is the 20th day of April, 2014. I am your host, Alex Jones. You know, I was looking back over news from earlier in the week, not just the Bundy Ranch situation, but a lot of other big developments that have been unfolding. And it's just crazy to think about how bizarre our world has gotten and just how serious my normalcy bias has become. I myself have been conditioned. I myself have become acclimated to this imperial government and ring of parasitic corporations that are gaming every sector of the economy and the culture as cold-bloodedly as terraforming aliens would do that arrived on Earth to remove us from its surface. I mean, they might as well be War of the Worlds craft coming down from the sky to colonize the planet and wipe out humanity. I mean, that's how evil these people are. That's how inhuman they are. And everything they do is developed and deployed to hurt humanity. And I think it's the realization of that that is going to save us. Look at all the other civilizations and all the craziness they had to put up with. And I know more and more, I just repeat this like a parrot, but everything else is just signpost on that road to perdition, on that road to domestication. And not domestication for just simple control, for control and the security for the elite, but they want control to further dumb down and mutate and stupefy and GMO the addled, already sick population that's being slowly euthanized, not just for the security of the planet and its organisms in the future. No, for the cruel, psychopathic, sadistic enjoyment of the ruling class. That's what we're talking about on this Sunday transmission. Because if we're going to protect all the good, if we're going to protect all the hardworking people, all the innocents, we have to learn to recognize evil. And it is the recognition of evil, it is the recognizing evil that allows us to then break with it and deal with it and stop it and reduce it. And you'll never totally get rid of all of it as long as humans are running around. But the point is that you've got to recognize it. And you've got to realize it's your responsibility. And it's a good responsibility. It's an empowering responsibility. It's an enlightening responsibility to stand up against these tyrants and to call them out and to resist them. A few days ago, I talked about the Declaration of Independence and the Bundy situation. I want to do that again. I'm a little bit calmer today. I kind of got wound up earlier in the week. And then I want to get into the Jewish community shooting as well. I haven't really talked enough about that. And I also want to talk about the Tea Party and how it ties in to today's Tea Party, but the original Tea Party. And a story from earlier in the week that was in a bunch of publications, the CBO came out with it. 86 million full-time private sector workers sustain 148 million benefit takers. So we're going to be going over all of that and some of the new news that's been breaking and developing as well. But the establishment will have articles out there telling us about a cop who took naked pictures with his patients, gynecologist, video voyeurism, and you know, it's the greatest and most evil thing ever seen on the planet, and I agree it's a bad thing to do, but it pales in significance to the scientific destruction of the human genetics and human genome by a group claiming they're doing it to save the Earth, to remove the scourge and the parasitical humanoids off its face. But in truth, they are genetically butchering plant, animal, microorganism, you name it, across the board. They are playing God, and they're doing it in a reckless, mad scientist, Island of Dr. Maru way. And that's what I'm saying, is we need to break with these people and call them out and stop letting our society be run by a bunch of criminals. That's really the emergency transmission beacon message we pump out every single day. 7 days a week with the news at Infowars.com. You can follow yours truly, the pumpkin-headed Texan, at Real Alex Jones. We'll be right back for the Easter transmission straight ahead. It's Easter, folks.
KLN, Los Angeles. Clone Radio. We play the songs that sound more like everyone else than anyone else. Clone.
Hitler took the guns. Stalin took the guns. Mao took the guns. Fidel Castro took the guns.
For the children.
Took the guns. 1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms. The Republic will rise again when you attempt to take our guns.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., we're here live, back Sundays, 4 to 6 p.m., and you're listening to it. This is the Sunday edition, and it is the 20th day, of course, of April 2014 on this Easter worldwide transmission. Again, thank you so much for joining us as we blast out on the AM and FM dial across the United States, global shortwave and internet worldwide. The news websites are Infowars.com. And then, of course, InfoWarsNews.com is the nightly news 7 nights a week. And we have PrisonPlanet.com, our mirror backup site. It's not really a mirror, though. It has a lot of news on it that is not on InfoWars.com. So be sure and check out PrisonPlanet.com. And you can always follow yours truly over on Twitter at RealAlexJones. And we have a big Facebook. We got about 3 million Facebook followers on all of our Facebooks. We've got about 800,000 on our big one. Links to all that and the latest news as it breaks at InfoWars.com. Okay, enough said. Here I am on Easter. Well, actually, here I am on Thursday recording this for Easter. But I just am so honored by our great Sunday audience. We almost always do it live, even when I'm out of town. David Knight, who sits in for me, does a great job. But I do have some stories I wanted to tape and talk about here with you because they're so important. And then we have some special interview excerpts and blasts from the past and a lot more coming up later in the transmission. So again, I want to thank all the great info warriors and liberty lovers out there for tuning into the transmission today. Okay, where to start? I saw an article last week, and we talked about it, but I really want to go back to this because it's from the Congressional Budget Office, and CNS News covered it. 86 million full-time private sector workers sustain 148 million people who are benefit takers. I want to say that again. 86 million people work, 148 million don't, and live off them. They have a name for that. They have a name. Did you ever hear of it? It's called slavery. Now, you can choose to take care of your mother or father when they're old. That's not really slavery, but you know, love is a form of slavery, a good form of it. There are lots of forms of slavery. You need water to live. I guess we're all slaves to water. We're all slaves to energy, and we need energy. But this is a bad kind of slavery. And they've couched it all in the welfare clause that is in the Constitution, the General Welfare Clause. But, I mean, what is the general welfare? Pretty much everybody agrees that a domesticated population is not good. That's why they tell you don't feed the animals at the national park. If you go to Yosemite Park, you go to Big Bend, you go to any of the big national parks, they'll tell you, really don't feed the animals because it'll make them dependent and then they won't know how to take care of themselves. And really, that's the argument here. They get well-meaning people to call for welfare and to call for give somebody free college and give somebody disability, give them this and that at the federal level. It's supposed to be at the state level, so it can be decided properly. And, of course, there should be some form of help out there. But what happens when they make it impossible with taxes to produce anymore? What happens with the giant population of 148 million people who are takers? That's not counting all the government pension funds and the rest of it. What happens? Well, generally, the whole society collapses, and they put This has happened in every communist country, pretty much every communist country, and authoritarian ones going back thousands of years. They put you in forced labor camps. They call them workhouses in England. And they have debtors' prisons and stuff like that. And all that's being brought back now under new names. So how's the welfare system working for you? Well, it's Cloward and Piven, and that's just one plan we've talked about for 15, 16 years on air, of my 19 years on air. It was back in the 60s, a sociology plan by a husband and wife that got adopted by the Democrats to bankrupt society by design to bring in full socialism and social control. Because, see, the social engineers want socialism at the grassroots, exempting the big banks and others from the taxes so that they can run your life. I mean, it's real simple, like sharecropping. If you've got a sharecropper and if you study sharecropping, it was slavery for white folks. They just didn't call it slavery. You had to sign a contract where you could only buy your food and stuff at the company store where they overcharged you, and you could never get out of debt, and then for generations you would stay on that farm as a slave. And they didn't have to take care of you if you got sick or anything. And, of course, it started out with indentured servants. You'd sign on for a 5, 7, or 10, or 14-year tour of indentured servitude as a contract for the ship passage to Australia or to the United States or to the new Dutch colonies, any of them. You would sign a contract, and then you would be put on a ship, and then you'd be a slave. Of course, they had pure slavery as well. They would just knock you on the head and put you on ships as part of press gangs as well. The British and French and others did that. And they like to grab usually about 10-year-old boys. Because the state always wants to grab kids when they're young to reprogram them. The Russian government does that for their tax police, mainly made up of orphans, that literally the state's their parents. I mean, that's what this is. The state's the daddy and the mommy. And then you take the kids basically from the mother, like you take eggs from a hen at birth, to quote George Orwell when he was talking about the Stalinist model or North Korean model. Now they just tell the women the cool thing to do is get your husband out of the house as soon as possible, or never marry him. You don't need that piece of garbage anyways. And then the state's there to help you with some stuff and give your kid lots of shots and things. And you wonder why your kid gets leukemia when they're 12. But hey, whatever. The planet's overpopulated, right? We all heard that. So this is just the reality on this Easter transmission. It's the ugly truth here, ladies and gentlemen. And then you get somebody like Cliven Bundy. Cliven Bundy, seven generations out in southern Nevada. In 1877, a wagon train of Mormons came into the area. And before it was a territory, before it was a state, when it might as well have been the moon. And then his grandfather got hassled into agreeing to grazing rights just on areas the feds had claimed was theirs. And then they raised the grazing rights fees up to where the 52 families had to leave, were bankrupt, or had to sell out to the government. And so all that was left was Cliven Bundy. And in the BLM documents that are on Infowars.com that were big national news story last week, the biggest story on the internet according to aggregate sites that track that, Google and others, you can look it up. We did an article on it showing the stats and the facts. They just, sent in the Chinese-backed company and with Harry Reid's son to try to basically take it. And to say he was a freeloader and a mooch. So if you want to come up and have an anchor baby, and want to have all your welfare paid for, that's fine. If you're out of the country and you want in-state tuition or free tuition, that's fine. Take old ladies' houses, take people's property if they don't pay their income tax, their property tax, to pay for all these freebies, that's not theft. But let me tell you what is theft. And the big conservative media, most of them said this. The theft is Cliven Bundy on government land, running his cattle and producing something out of the desert. What a horrible person. What a terrible person. He should roll over and die and just say, you know what? You know what? You're right. This open range, common law said, state law said I could be out of my cows. You're right, BLM. Thanks for tasering people and punching them in the back and attacking women. Thank you so much. You're right. I'll just go crawl in a ditch and die. Thank you for destroying my way of life. You're right. Let's make way for Harry Reid and his son an energy deal. But because the Republicans are involved in big energy deals with the Chinese and others, they don't want all the federal land grabbing going on. A lot of these congressmen, Republican congressmen, have their son they want to head up the BLM, or their son they want to head up an energy company with the Chinese. So they don't want this looked at. That's why they had Rachel Maddow and MSNBC and CNN with a bunch of neocon radio hosts. You all heard him this week. Up there saying he's a freeloading piece of garbage and this is all welfare and he's a lazy bum and there's no Chinese energy company connection. It's all lies. That's because they're all in on it, folks. They're all in on gang raping you financially, and they think it's funny. And if you don't wake up, you deserve it.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
You know, I had a great private conversation with Ron Paul yesterday, a lengthy one, and he's just doing a lot of great, exciting things. It was a private conversation, but down the road, I'm sure folks will hear. Just so many interesting things going on. Liberty is certainly on the march on a planetary level, but there's going to be pushback against that. You know, today we pay our tax money, the private run-for-profit Federal Reserve's collection agency, the IRS, that wasn't set up till 1913. And then on average, Americans didn't pay income tax until World War II. They called it a war tax. And then in 51, they made it permanent. Just like we didn't have property taxes in this country the last 100 years, and it wasn't universal till about 30 years ago. You don't own your land, folks, if you pay a property tax. It's not really your land. You pay a rent. Clive Bundy and seven generations of his family since the 1870s have the surface foraging water rights. And for those who don't know, this is universal across Europe, England, and the U.S. It's common law, certified by state and federal law, that if you were the first in a territory or area and you use the water and the range, you have the claim on the land. Now, they've used ignorance to distract the public and say, Bundy's not paying his taxes, he's lazy. If you're an illegal coming and having an anchor baby, or you're a corporation getting corporate welfare like Solyndra, that's fine. Or if you're Microsoft, you know, paying zero tax or whatever, that's okay. But if you're Clive Bundy producing beef for this country, you're a low-down, lazy, freeloading piece of garbage. According to Neocon Radio and MSNBC and CNN and Media Matters that the White House runs. And then they went further. We, last week, got the BLM documents from the Google cache. They'd taken them off the BLM site where they said Clive Bundy is a recharge zone area set aside where we're going to use this area for the solar panels next door. We got to use him for the power lines, and we've got to use him as a set-aside under international UNESCO rules where you can't use the property. That's how they do it. They have a, quote, carbon sink, as they call it. That's the global treaty. That if they're going to use this, well, your land can't be used. It's Nature Conservancy stuff, and we're showing the documents on screen right now. They've since pulled it off Google. They're so upset, and they've got Reed running around with people running defense for him saying this doesn't exist. They're in a lot of trouble, folks. Now, we've got him to the bottom of the hour, maybe longer. I want to go to him now to cover the waterfront and to discuss everything that's unfolding. But I wanted to play Harry Reid saying it's not over yet yesterday with the most disgusting you-know-what eating grin. The true grin of a psychopath, kleptocrat, I mean, it just says a trillion words. The smugness of thinking he's untouchable, that he's invincible, all the horrible things, the gun grabbing, the open borders, the attacks on families. This guy, and I'm not in the LDS, so I don't want to speak for folks, but the Mormons I know are all upstanding, really hardworking, good people at the front lines of fighting the New World Order. I want to know why Harry Reid's at the forefront of destroying this country and the world. I want to ask why he hasn't been thrown out of his church. Maybe that's not my business, but let me throw that at you, Clive Bundy. What's your take on this man? I wouldn't call him a Christian. I wouldn't call him anything but a scallywag.
Well, I can tell you one thing. The people of the state of Nevada elected him. They elected him to the United States Senate to take care of business on the, like things like fighting foreign wars and doing the business with other countries. They didn't elect him to come back to Nevada and have anything to do with this public land of Clark County, Nevada. So this is not none of his business. He has no jurisdiction authority. We didn't elect him to be here. We haven't asked him to be here. Harry, get your back where you're supposed to be and do what you're supposed to be doing.
If you had Harry Reid in front of you right now, what would you say to him? Because he definitely watches and listens to this show.
I would tell him the exact same thing I just told you. I did tell Harry right now. That's where we never elected him to come down here and bring his army and against we the people. We never did do that, and we're not going to accept that one more time ever.
Well, you're definitely a ghost of our forefathers. That's exactly how they talked. And it's so alien now for a lot of city slickers to hear somebody saying, I won't back down. I want to play this clip of Harry Reid.
Is there anything you would like to say about what's going on down south with Clive Bundy and the BLM?
Well, it's not over. We can't have an American people that violate the law and just walk away from it. So it's not over.
Unbelievable. I think it's violating the law to taser people for no reason for free speech or to body slam women from behind or set dogs on people or to point guns at everybody saying we will shoot if you cross the line. Sir, we have the audio. We've played the video. It's a viral video. You were there with David Knight, my reporter, and Josh Owens, the cameraman. Around 1,000 people. So historical. Looked like Ceausescu's Romania when the people turned on him, or the fall of the Berlin Wall, or if Tiananmen Square would have gone better. Describe what it was like when you decided to say, hey, we're going in to get the cattle. We're going over their line. And just like Lexington saying, we're not going to fire the shot heard around the world, but if they fire, we'll fire all the rest. What was that like, Mr. Bundy?
Well, you got to sort of realize or feel the setting, know the setting. We had the Clark County Sheriff, Doug Gillespie, standing right beside me, and he had made a statement and been negotiating with the enemy, the BLM, and come there to give we the people a statement, and the people didn't accept his statement. So the people gave him a mandate to disarm those people over in that compound, the BLM. Those militants that were armed over there and been tormenting us for several weeks, he said, go disarm, or the people said, Sheriff, go take their guns away. And we gave the sheriff 1 hour to do that. And he didn't do that. And we gave him another 15 minutes, and they didn't do that. And we gave him another 5 minutes, and they didn't do that. And we had asked the media to bring this information back. Tell us what the sheriff is doing, and what is the sheriff? Is the sheriff taking those arms back? And we asked that he take those arms back, which is about 3 miles away, well, about 5 miles away from where we were, and bring those arms and put them under the flags where we were all congregated. They didn't do that. They did not do that. The media did not give us a report. We had a 1,000 people there and 50, 60 horses up on the hill, and nothing was said about the cattle. This whole thing was not about cattle. It was about the people's rights and their liberty and their freedom, and they was mad about the First Amendment rights only in these little pig
pens. I understand the cattle were basically like taking the flag back,
The cattle hadn't been talked about all day. And then people started to say, what about the cattle? And they was ready to go. And so I said, go get them. And when I said, go get them, it was those horses went running off the hills and the flags. And the people, got in like 300 cars.
You look like a John Wayne movie meets V for Vendetta. I got to say, I literally was in ecstasy because I was so worried about everybody getting shot and a war breaking out. And when the feds backed off, for now, I got really happy, and I want to be friends with those feds, and I want them to become Americans again, and I think they did when they stood down. I think sanity prevailed, and I know they felt bad having to retreat, but Americans have been retreating in the face of the globalists for so long. We've been retreating. We're tired of getting pissed on.
Rolling, 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 rolling.
Keep rolling, 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 though the streams are swollen. Keep them doggies rolling, right through rain and wind and weather, hell-bent leather, wishing my gal was by my side.
Old Rowdy Yates.
All the things I'm missing, good vittles, love and kissing, are waiting at the end of my ride.
So head them up, move them out.
Move him on, hit him up, hit him up.
All right, folks.
Move him on, hit him up, rawhide. Cut him out, ride him in, cut him out.
Clive and Bundy joins us. This is a short segment. He's with us in the next segment as well. Then I'll get into the mass school stabbing. Are they going to ban knives? Well, England's actually calling for licenses to have knives. I'm not joking. Butcher knives. But, sir, it's established state law, common law. You've been using that land since your great-great-granddaddy. Who was it? Your great-great-great-granddaddy that came in and started using the land there and getting the water rights, the surface rights, the forage rights in 1877?
Yes, it was my great-great-great back there for five or six generations ago. And they started to establish these rights by beneficial use of the water and the forage. And the access rights, because they had to build all of their own trails and roads in them days. And from that time to this point in time, it's been continuously used. I say my rights are either I've inherited my rights or I've bought my rights. You got to remember that back in those days, there was a lot of other. There was more pioneer settlers here than just my grandfather, and they was creating rights also. And over the years, those rights have been either traded or bought, and now they've gone to me, and so I've either inherited my rights or I've bought them.
All right, shifting gears out of that, we've settled that. The media says you claim you've got a right because you were there first, counting on the ignorance of the public. Hundreds of armed men, snipers, get into that. It's so alien to people to hear you say, we don't want these armed BLM. It'd be one thing if they had a few armed police BLM for any type of crisis or problems that happened, and if they behave like police. But when they're in military outfits, and those guys are clearly military people, in fact, a lot of them look like mercenaries. They don't look like BLM. They look like real special forces operators. I know them when I see them on both sides. And when you see that and that they're ready to kill people, fresh back from Afghanistan, just 10 years ago, no one would put up with roving paramilitary federal police. More of them than there are people. And that bicyclist nearby that didn't stop and they shot him in the back a few weeks ago, and the aggressiveness of them, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we don't want roving federal goons. If the Austin Police Department acted like these people, I'd say disband the Austin Police Department.
Well, sure. Let me talk a little constitution here. We, the people, have elected our county sheriff, and we give him part of our sovereignty. Take care of some legal things. And what he's supposed to take care of is he's supposed to take care of our life, liberty, and property. Now, that authority has never been given to any of those federal officers. If there's a problem, say down in the park, if there's a problem, they need to call the county sheriff and let them come and take care of it. They don't need to think they can take care of it. They're working as like a guest. Like a Boy Scout, they're supposed to be helping people, serving people, and being there for people, not to be carrying their guns and being this great authority. If there's a need, every county in the United States, there's like 3,100 of them, every county has a county sheriff, and that's why we elected him and paid him to take care of those problems.
No, I hear you. I'm just so pro-gun, unless they totally disband the BLM. Out west, it's dangerous. You need guns. I mean, do you think the park rangers should be able to have guns then?
No. Why do they need guns? I don't need a gun on my ranch. I go over all of the areas and play the park ranger. I've never needed a gun ever in my whole life. Neither has any of my cowboys. Not one of us ever needed a gun. If we needed a gun, we'd call the county sheriff. Say, hey, we need some help out here. That's what the park ranger should do, and that's what the BLM should do, and that's what the Fish and Wildlife should do, and that's what the FBI should do. They don't have no arresting power or anything. If they have a problem, call the sheriff and have him take care of their problem, help them with them. They're there to serve, only to serve we the people, not to shoot us.
Well, I know this. They claim that BLM only has 200 armed officers total. There's a major arms race in the federal government, and I looked at those guys they brought in, and I happen to know they use U.S. military on the border in regular clothes, because I've got family that has run operations on the border and in Mexico, and I'll guarantee you most of those so-called BLM guys that were out there were not even BLM. They were probably Joint Task Force 6 or 7 out of Texas. If I had to guess, those were U.S. Army If that is the case, what do you say to that? That sounds pretty treasonous to me.
Well, I don't see much difference in BLM and the United States Army coming after we, the people of America, and we, the people of the state of Nevada.
Paramilitary is paramilitary.
I know that both of it's against the Constitution of the United States. One sense does any United States bureaucracy have a right to come against we the people or have arms? I don't see anything like that. They can carry arms as individuals, but when they're in their uniform and at their job, they should not have a gun with them. Only person with a uniform and a job would be our county sheriffs and their deputies. They're the only people that should be carrying guns here in America. Everybody else in America should carry a gun as a person. That's their first, their Second Amendment right. They should be able to carry a gun, but not as a official servant of we the people, except the sheriff.
Well, I hear you. The way they act, I mean, they just really acted like they hated in those videos of them tasering people and attacking. They acted like they really hated peaceful demonstrators. They wanted a war.
I don't know if individually hate us, but they sure was standing there. And, I feel sorry for those people, their souls. I mean, gee whiz, you come against your own people, we the people, and you threaten to shoot them. And, I mean, it come within a hair of being somebody pulling the trigger. Now, you got to remember, we the people was not armed. It was only the federal officers that was armed. Or whatever you want to call them, they were armed with heavy armor.
Well, that's right. Most of the people did not have firearms that walked up to the line. There were some militia people there that stayed up mainly on the embankment and were aiming down. It was a very tense situation. Our reporters clearly heard it. You can hear it. It's hard on radio to pick it up on AM, but on the video that's gone viral of the feds retreating, you can hear them saying, back up, we will shoot. Did you audibly yourself hear them say, we will shoot?
I wasn't there. I didn't personally hear that, and I only have seen little clips on video. My wife and I stayed on that stage where we talked and under the flags. We stayed there through this whole operation, and so we just were sort of watching for the flag to come over the hill, and we knew somebody was successful. All the time we was there, BLM had an airplane that was flying in a circle around the encampment, and we could see that
sure.
airplane.
Well, I saw some of your sons and daughters leading it, and telling them, no, we're not backing down, and then cutting open the gate. Which one of your sons was that did that?
I had about three or four sons there, and some daughters. I had some sisters there, and there was like 1,000 people there. A lot of those people on the horses were. Cowboys, neighbors, and friends. And I had family and friends there, but there was many, many more people I didn't have no. But I'll tell you one thing. I shook hands with most every person there, and I hugged their women. And them people were good people. And one thing I understand, the souls of American people, and I think it's all the way around the world, there's a lot of good people. In fact, every soul is good. And I realize that we need our individual rights to exercise agency. That's what I think our Constitution gives us.
Absolutely. You got to have free will or you're not even conscious.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Wouldn't let me in, so move it on over.
Move it on over.
Move it on over.
Move it on over.
Move over, little dog, cause the big dog's moving in. She's changed the lock on our front door. My door key don't fit no more, so get it on over.
Move it on over.
Scoot it on over.
Move it on over.
Move over, skinny dog, cause the fat dog's moving in.
Monday through Friday,
house
11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. We broadcast worldwide. We return weeknights, 7 o'clock Central, InfoWars Nightly News, with our great team of reporters. But most importantly are your prayers and support. Thank you so much for all you do out there. undoubtedly, the actions of the feds, beating people up, attacking anyone trying to demonstrate peacefully. And Tiananmen Square happened. In fact, I saw a graphic in one of Watson's articles on InfoWars today I want to show that shows what I described already last week. Well, Saturday when it happened was like the tanks of Obama, the tanks of the UN driving up and you got a cowboy in front of it. In fact, I want our graphics department to make one where it's the Tiananmen Square photo, but where it's UN tanks. That's more proper. That's what this treaty is to do this. And then there's the cowboy in front of it. But I'll find that in a moment. If you go to DrudgeReport.com, his top three stories, Harry Reid on cattle battle, it's not over. Under that, Ron Paul warns feds could launch Waco-style assault. That's an InfoWars.com article. And then a great photo and image, an article at CBS News. Founding fathers didn't create government like this. And it's a story with the man who's on with us right now, Cliven Bundy, and you know, his quotes and what he has to say. But he basically gives his point. And, you know, people are sick of it. I happen to have run into three. Well, I ran into two, and then somebody told me about another. Austin cops on Saturday who all, you know, said, hey, isn't it great, you know, that nothing violent happened and that the feds back down. It is time for us to push back. You know, the feds have too much land. They're, you know, the taxes are too high. Everybody knows we're being screwed here. And so just the image of the cowboys riding down, being threatened to be shot, going over, all of this happening is so archetypal and so powerful. All right, Cliven, I want to give you the final comments here about trying to get these armed paramilitaries out of your area where your family's been since 1877. I wish they'd be down on the border, but Obama's getting rid of that. I wish they would you know, deal with some actual crime. I could show them some crack dealers down the street from where my office is, but no, I guess they're out there making sure that on thousands of square miles, nobody holds up a protest sign against the BLM.
Well, you know, I guess this is my opportunity to say we need to get rid of these bureaucracies, and especially the arms of them. You know, arms, I'm talking about the guns that they carry around. We've got bureaucracies all over the country, and they have created their own armies within the bureaucracies, and then they bring these bureaucracies together to come against we the people. And, you know, they've created an army within the United States. It's even bigger than the army that we have to fight the world. And so it's time now to take these guns away from these people and give the sheriff power, policing power, back to our sheriffs. And, hey, if our sheriff needs help, we the people will help those sheriffs take care of things. But these sheriffs have good deputies, and let them have our peace and power. We, the people, have elected and pay these sheriffs to protect our life, liberty, and property. We have no desire anymore in this United States for the United States government to be carrying weapons and acting like sheriffs. That's got to end right now. And county sheriffs, get the job done. Take these arms away from these bureaucracies.
I agree with you. Let me play a clip of Obama where he said they want a domestic security force just as big, just as strong as our military, and they've armed almost every federal agency, spending up to $198 million per Social Security building with private mercenaries, actual combat troops, combat veterans, cream of the crop, thousands of armored vehicles deployed and delivered, helicopters, open training to take on the Tea Party. That's in Forbes magazine. We, of course, broke it, but I'm saying it's mainstream news. What do you make of them building up this domestic army? I want to get your take on that, Clive, but first, here's this clip of Obama, candidate Obama in 2008.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
Clive, your comment on that.
That's exactly what was coming against we the people. We as a rancher, we the people here in Clark County. That is exactly what they were doing. That was exactly the army that was coming against we the people. And that's exactly the army I'm saying county sheriffs disarm them. And each county sheriff, there are like 3,100 counties sheriffs in this United States. each one of you take your responsibility and get the guns away from these people. They are an army within us, and then individually, you can take care of that. Those arms in your county, it won't have to be a big national or international war. Get the job done.
Well, back in 1962 or 61, when they had the UT Tower shooting, I forget the year, my buddy Mike Hansen's dad, there's famous photos at the museum of his dad in the ambulance getting shot, and the ambulance getting shot up as he pulled around saving people that were shot. And while he's getting people into the ambulance, his dad was a hot rod racer. That's why he became an ambulance driver. In the old days, those guys were like, drove a Ghostbuster-style ambulance. So he'd drive that up and down Congress. But there's all these photos of his dad, sitting there picking the people up, getting them into the, by himself, putting them on stretchers, getting them in there. He was a big guy, and they were shooting at him. And it was, and everybody just pulled their rifles out and pinned him down. So a citizen and a police department, and I've interviewed both of them, could one of them became a Texas Ranger later, could go up and kill that guy. And it was actually the civilian, as they'd call him, who actually got the first shots off, and then the cop shot him as well. But both of them had courage. But, I mean, nowadays, imagine if somebody was on a tower and citizens started pulling guns out, I guarantee you the cops would probably shoot you. And it just shows the domestication situation. It was 1966. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, we've got to change this around. The sovereignty, the policing power is in we the people, and we only give part of that power to our county sheriff, and we give no power to the United States government in that sense to come down against the citizen. The power of the United States government is supposed to deal with foreign problems, not within the United States, not we the people. You get your armies and fight the battle somewhere else to protect this land, not harass their people.
Well, that's right. Every third world cesspit has a domestic military that rules over the people and becomes an oppressive group of gangster thugs, and we don't want gangster government. Final comment from you, sir, and then I want to give out your website and put his blog on screen for TV viewers, and I'll get the URL for folks so I can give it out here on air. But Scarborough of MSNBC, I guess he kind of represents the establishment, a so-called Republican. And we've had some other Republican talk show hosts criticizing him, not to your face, but behind your back and having you on. I'm not going to name names. It's just very shameful and misconstruing what's going on. He says you need to obey the law. I wanted to play that clip and let you respond to basically this entire group of people.
It's not libertarianism. You actually, if you respect the rule of law.
Right.
And
there have been laws passed.
This guy, for 20 years, has been breaking the law, using federal land. He hasn't been paying the grazing fees that everybody else pays. For some reason, this guy thinks that the laws that apply to every other rancher in the United States of America don't apply to him. And there's no doubt the Bureau of Land Management overreacted. This could have been handled much better. So I think you go even people on the further boundaries of the right in the conservative movement think that if this guy is going to use federal land, then this guy should actually pay the fees. And he owes over $1 million right now.
All right.
And so this is,
that's enough. You want to respond to that? Because, I mean, Rosa Parks needs to follow the rule and sit at the back of the bus. Go ahead.
Okay, yes, I would like to respond to that. First, if I owe $1 million, if I owe that, I'd be happy to pay that to the proper form of government. Well, it would have to be my state. And the other thing is, this is not about Clive and Bundy. It's not about his cows or not about his grazing rights. What it's about is liberty and freedom of we the people. And we the people is making this move, not Clive and Bundy. So, America, make it move. Let's take these guns away from these bureaucracies and enjoy some freedom and liberty. That's when we go out and enjoy a picnic or at the park. Let's don't let those people ruin our picnic.
We talked to Wolfgang Halbig about a month ago. He's the former state police officer and a school safety expert and one of the top in the nation. And he just says, hands down, Sandy Hook is an inside job. So that is coming up. and then part of the George Galloway interview. It was excellent for a member of the parliament from England, from the Respect Party. We're going to round things out with that, and then I will be back, Lord willing, tomorrow live. But first off, here is a report that Leanne McAdoo filed about more of the mysterious deaths of people that speak out about the Illuminati and all sorts of other sickening things that are going on. Truth is truly stranger than fiction. I hope you're having a great Easter. God bless you all. Here is Leanne McAdoo from the front lines of the InfoWar for InfoWars Nightly News.
Peaches Geldof, the Paris Hilton of the UK, was found dead at the age of 25 of unexplained and sudden causes. There was no suicide note, no hard drugs on the scene, and autopsy reports so far inconclusive, awaiting toxicology reports. But was Peaches Geldof targeted for exposing pedophilia or something more sinister? Last year, Geldof tweeted the names of two crazed groupies who allegedly agreed to let singer Ian Watkins of the group Lost Prophets sexually abuse their children. Watkins pled guilty to 13 counts of child sexual assault, including two counts of attempting to rape a baby. Geldof, who is a reformed wild child and mother of two, insisted that these monster moms be named because the press refused. She sent out a tweet revealing the names of the mothers and then promptly deleted it after she was informed that she might be investigated by police for inadvertently identifying the child victims involved, a crime in the UK. But was Peaches ready to reveal more? She's not the first person to die under mysterious circumstances after exposing pedophilia. BBC presenter Jimmy Savile died before he could pay for his crimes as part of an organized elite pedophile ring linked to the UK government, the BBC, and the royal family. A theory following the death of Princess Diana was that she had knowledge of the powerful VIP pedophile ring and was about to blow the lid on what she knew. There's a still unsolved case of BBC investigative journalist Jill Dando, who was shot point blank outside of her home. It's rumored that she may have uncovered the VIP pedophile ring operating within the BBC and was about to expose it. There's also the mysterious death of Georgia State Senator Nancy Schaefer and her husband, immediately dubbed a murder-suicide by the media. Nancy was actively exposing corruption within the Department of Family and Child Services, including actions by the DFCS director in the county where she lived. Specifically in Georgia, former Senator Nancy Schaefer had found during the last few years that DFCS housed children in a foster home with a known pedophile who molested the children. Habersham County failed to remove six children from a home where they are being abused and tortured. And Georgia also turned two girls over to a California father who had a pornographic video business. Schaefer made it clear that organizations procure their underage victims by making children wards of the state, such as convicted pedophile Jerry Sandusky's nonprofit, The Second Mile. But there's another curious twist linking Peaches to occult groups that perform ritualistic child abuse. Peaches was very interested in ghosts and the occult, and recently snapped a selfie that she claimed revealed the ghostly hand of a woman who had died in her home. Her death comes about a year after publicly announcing her initiation into the occult secret society Ordo Templi Orientis. On March 11, 2013, Peaches uploaded this photo to Instagram. What's the first rule of Fight Club?
You do not talk about Fight Club.
Geldof's Instagram snap caused a surge of interest for the secret society. It's based on Aleister Crowley's Thelema. The OTO revolves around the concept of sex magic to attain spiritual illumination. The OTO considers itself to be the true heir of the Knights Templar and the Bavarian Illuminati. Crowley's text also contains several thinly veiled allusions to human ritual sacrifice to attain magical potency. Crowley's motto, "Do what thou wilt," has even influenced Illuminati puppet Jay-Z, who has repeatedly appropriated Crowley's quotations, including wearing this t-shirt emblazoned with the words. Aleister Crowley, once dubbed the wickedest man in the world, reveled in sadomasochistic sex rituals and the use of hard drugs. These are the same fertility rituals and creepy child sacrifice themes we've seen before at the Rothschilds' masquerade. Geldof defended Crowley on her social media accounts, calling him a beautiful writer and thinker, and posting photos of her bookshelf stacked with volumes of Crowley's work. We may never know if Peaches Geldof was murdered for revealing too much or if she was offered up as a human sacrifice, but either way, she died at a very young age under mysterious circumstances and under the spell of an elite secret society.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.
We're the renegades of the atomic age.
We're the renegades.
Wolfgang W. Halbig is our guest for the balance of the hour. I appreciate him coming on. He's been on the nightly news. He could not have a more extensive background, tailor-made to investigate what really happened in Sandy Hook, Connecticut, that was used and is being used to try to create a mass guilt to be projected on the American people and make us collective killers of the children that reportedly died there. They've bulldozed the site. They've declared national security and state security on all the details. I believe people died there from my research, but clearly the official story is not true, and there were people given scripts to put out official lines. And we now know that Bloomberg was activated days before saying prepare the social networks for a mass shooting. So we see a lot of preparation here. This could bring them down because I've never seen the American people reject something like this. Wolfgang W. Halbig, I'm not going to go over his whole bio, but he was, of course, a Florida state trooper in Miami, Florida, and a United States custom inspector. And, of course, after that, he was the executive director of the National Institute of School and Workplace Safety. Wolfgang Halbig has recently formed a new safety and security company, WK & Associates. Previously, he worked in public education as a teacher, dean, assistant principal, director of alternative school, and the director of school safety and security of the Seminole County Public Schools, huge area, a public school district of 65,000 students. And again, he was also before that law enforcement experiences as state trooper and then customs inspector. As a result of his unique background in both law enforcement and education, Mr. Halbig has been invited to provide presentations and keynotes to a variety of audiences. And I'm not going to go over all this, but he advises police across the country. He's very well respected, very well known. He's at the top of his field. He's been threatened, and he's the guy in there. He's the good cop you're looking for. The real guy, like in V for Vendetta, that is good and can't be intimidated. And believe me, he needs to be prayed for, folks, because I don't know exactly what went on. I just know as an investigator, a lay investigator, that the official story is not true, so we're being lied to. But Wolfgang, thank you for coming on, Mr. Halbig. Just give us the basics of a preview of what you think's really going on here and the cover-up, and then break down what we know when we come back.
Well, I think Homeland Security and FEMA has probably pulled off one of the best illusions on all of the American people. I've never seen it. I bet you that they had it in planning for over 3 years. And, you know, I just have 16 simple questions and hope that we talk about today. But, Alex, they won't respond. They don't return phone calls. They don't respond to FOIA requests. And, you know, until they prove or answer those 16 questions, I don't think children died at Sandy Hook. And I hope we have that great discussion, you know, as we come back.
Well, I mean, it's starting to lean that direction. It's just the boldness of a total hoax. But we've got green screens. We've got people clearly being actors. We've got, I tell you, they really are sloppy. That's all I can say.
Well, somebody needs to win the Oscar because I tell you what, they have split families across this country. We have some family members believing it happened. We have the other half the family members believing, you know, it was a hoax. I mean, they have divided this country. The one thing I've learned about government, being an American government teacher and history teacher, you divide this country and they conquer it. I think the government's trying to conquer this country. And that's not the America that I grew up in, Alex.
Well, undoubtedly, that is it. The globalists run the government and they are conquering it. And they admit they're involved in divide and conquer.
I tell you what, it's time for us as Americans to come together. And this is the greatest opportunity. Sandy Hook, if we can show that this thing was an illusion, the dominoes will fall, and a lot of people need to go to jail, Alex.
Now briefly, how have you been threatened?
Well, you know, it's ironic. For over 10 months, I mean, when Sandy Hook unfolded, I went into shock. I'm a national school safety consultant. I'm sitting there watching television, breaking news. Children shot, teachers shot and killed. I mean, it took me a week to figure it out. I'm going, whoa. I'm a FEMA trainer. I teach incident command. I train people how we're supposed to respond. That's not what we're supposed to do. And I can't believe they're telling me that if I don't stop asking questions about the Sandy Hook school shooting, that the Connecticut State Police were going to come down and charge me with felony harassment. Now, all I've done is use the Connecticut Freedom of Information Act, And you know what? That's the first thing we learn as a citizen is you got to be able to ask questions. And, you know, the questions that we're going to talk about here are so simple. They do not hurt any of the parents. They do not hurt.
Sure. Describe what happened. Describe what they said to you.
Well, they came to me, and first of all, they did what you did. They went over. They had my whole background, my whole history of my life, where I went to high school, where I played football at Abilene Christian College. They knew me about being a state trooper, customs agent. They thanked me for my service to my country. And then they said, you need to stop asking questions, or they're going to come down from Connecticut, and they're going to arrest you. And I said, for what? For asking freedom of information requests? I mean, they need to go to jail for not responding. And then they told me I need to hire an attorney, you know, and I'm sitting there going, I said, well, you guys need to call them up and tell them I'm not going to stop asking questions. That's one of the things I believe in. And you know what? The question, the first one is, who would have directed the New Haven FBI field offices to classify the Sandy Hook school shooting? Alex, that's never heard of. Columbine, Virginia Tech, Jonesboro, Paducah, you name it, the FBI has never, ever classified a school shooting. Why would they do that? And then when I called the New Haven field offices, I wanted to make sure my information was correct. This lady, FBI agent, you know, I asked her, how do I get this information? She says, you're never going to see it in your lifetime. It's been classified, and the public will not see it. And I think everybody who's listening to your show today ought to pick up the phone, call their congressman, their U.S. senator, and demand, and I mean demand, a copy of that report. Because we, as Americans, we have a right to know, especially when they're using children and teachers as a ploy to scare the living hell out of us, Alex. And the next question is really simple. I want to know who the incident commander was. I mean, one of the things Homeland Security and FEMA has shoved down every school district, private and parochial, that when you have a mass casualty event, you have got to have an incident commander. And you know what? They won't tell me who was in charge on that day. Now, that tells me a serious problem, because that incident commander was in charge of requesting trauma helicopters. I'm 67 years old. I've never, ever seen a school shooting where we don't get the quickest and the fastest medical help, and there's nothing like the trauma helicopter. They got the best experience, best paramedics. They got the tools that they need. Why would you not order trauma helicopters for those children? And for those teachers,
we have the videos of them, the same kids going in circles in and out of the building, unmistaken drill, and then they just tell them they were all shot. I mean, keep going.
Well, Alex, I mean, for anyone to understand what you and I today are talking about, I got your listeners need to pretend that they have a child in that school on December 14th, 2012. Please, listeners, pretend that you have a first grader, a little girl, a little boy, your love of your life, and they don't order trauma helicopters knowing they may be seriously shot, clinging to life. And then, why would they not let the paramedics and the EMTs inside the school? Now, who made that decision? That is just unheard of. It's cruel. You need to provide medical attention.
So they overrode the default. They overrode the default settings.
Oh, can you? Well, think about it. You're the incident commander. Once the school is deemed safe, you get all the medical help that you can inside the school. Because guess what? We don't know if they're dead or not. Then we find out that within 8 minutes of the first shot supposedly being fired, Alex, they're all declared dead. We have 18 children and 6 school staff members declared legally dead within 8 minutes. That's unheard of. And by Connecticut law, only a doctor can declare them legally dead. So who did that? They won't respond to my questions. So, you know, I keep doing this day in and day out. No phone calls, no response.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
We have a nationally recognized school safety and security expert and consultant. He's provided safety training and school assessments for more than 8,000 school districts He has been the head of one of the biggest school districts in the country's safety. And I'm not going to just go over all of his credits on Dateline NBC, Good Morning America, long career as a state police officer in Miami, Florida. If you're just joining us, then in customs, and then he got into being an educator and then security. And he's looking at it and dissecting it like everybody else did. I mean, folks, we've got video of Anderson Cooper with clear blue screen out there. He's not there in the town square. We've got people clearly coming up and laughing and then doing the fake crying. We've clearly got people where it's actors playing different parts of different people. The building bulldoze, covering up everything. Adam Lanza trying to get guns five times, we're told. The witnesses, you know, not saying it was him. People out in the woods. But we've got the investigator here, Wolfgang W. Halbig. I'm going to give you the floor, sir. Go over your 16 points, the problems, the issues, and break down what you believe is a total hoax. But you're the expert. Break it down for us.
You know, I've been doing this. I've traveled the country from one state to another. I've been in school shooting events. I've been there. I get hired as an expert witness after the fact. When I was an assistant principal, I've seen a student shot in our school. And you know what I learned, Alex? When you hear shots fired in your high school, those parents will come at you with every ounce of energy. They are ready to tear down the fence to get to their child. At Sandy Hook, as you said, guess what they're doing? They're going in circle. I didn't see any parents have any sense of urgency to go get their child. And then you read about this guy. There's a guy in the woods. He was supposed to come build gingerbread houses. He's running away from the school, knowing that shots are fired. If I was that father, Alex, I'd be running into the school, not away from the school. It just does not make sense. And then, you know, this is a simple request because I did this at Columbine. You know, Columbine, we had 14 students shot and killed, 23 seriously injured. We had a great teacher by the name of Dave Sanders that was shot and killed trying to save kids. And one thing that I learned about 3 days, 4 days later, I saw how they contracted a certified environmental company to come in to clean up all of the biohazards. Alex, there was blood in the media center everywhere, brain matter, skull fragments. The carpet were stained with blood. I mean, windows were shot out, broken out. The police department, you know, they fired over 354 rounds inside the school while kids were still in there. But what I got to see is how they clean up and sanitize and decontaminate. You know, nobody will tell me who did that at Sandy Hook. I mean, Sandy Hook had three crime areas, room 8, room 10, and room 9. Yep, they shot out the window. But nobody will tell me who the company is that the Newtown Public Schools contracted with to come in to sanitize and decontaminate. Why is that a secret? It's something that you should be doing by law.
Continuing with the 16 points.
This is the one that gets my attention. Newtown Police has a lieutenant, and he's working in off-duty detail at a construction site less than 2 miles from the Sandy Hook Elementary School when they hear shots fired. Now, you would assume somebody who's in management, law enforcement management, would automatically break away from his duty and respond to the school. Alex, that man stays at his off-duty job for over 4 hours, and then he responds. But what people don't know, I read the police report, there was another female officer, and she left the duty site to go to the shooting. Now, why would he not go? I mean, there are just so many questions, and I think they're coming at me, not just one time, because they send another two police officers, you know, a couple of weeks later. They want me to stop asking these questions. Why? We're going to find out when we go up to Newtown. But why would a lieutenant not leave his duty? Another one is that Newtown Public Schools, the Sandy Hook Elementary School, Alex, had the highest level of lead paint. They had the highest level of asbestos throughout the school. They had the highest level of PCP, groundwater, inside the school and around the school. And you know what? I've asked for the triannual asbestos inspections, which are required by a school district every 3 years by a certified outside contractor. They refuse to hand over those inspection reports. The district is required by law, Connecticut law, to let the parents know each school year of any materials that reside within the school because we don't want the children to have lifelong, you know, health issues.
And there's a total cover-up of that. And then they've bulldozed the school now. They will not release any of the photos, any of the transcripts. There's clearly a massive cover-up here. Your best guesstimation of this is what? A drill, which they told the world was a real shooting? I mean, we know this was their push to get the guns. I mean, we know that's the motive. We know they've staged other stuff. But, I mean, I tell you, this is just so bold.
Well, I hope at the end of the day that we find the truth about Sandy Hook. And I'm going to tell you what. Anderson Cooper, CNN, and every one of those major networks, boy, I'm going to tell you what, they need to apologize to the American people. Because, Alex, I'm telling you, I'm a naturalized U.S. citizen, and I pray to God that I'm wrong. I mean, my wife is so mad at me for doing what I'm doing today. I mean, it's almost costing me a marriage. But I tell you what, if I am wrong, I'm willing to tear up my naturalization papers. Because I've embarrassed America, and all those people that believe in me right now, I wouldn't want to be an American if I lied to them or accusing America of fraud. We're going to go to Newtown. We're going to get people to raise their right hand. We're going to file class action lawsuits, and the government is not expecting us to do that. But until we get them to raise their right hand, nothing's ever going to happen. We're going to talk about it forever and ever, but we need to go. We need to hold them accountable, and people need to go to jail.
I understand you see lies. You've got to tell the truth, even though it's hard. But in the beginning, a patriot's a scarce man. But in the end, the timid join him because then it costs nothing to be a patriot, as Mark Twain said, to paraphrase.
Well, let me leave you with this one. And remember, I said, parents, visualize that your child in there. I couldn't believe that within 3 hours of the first shots fired, with everybody responding, the incident commander is ordering porta potties. I mean, think about this. They're ordering porta potties for Sandy Hook Elementary School. It took me a week to figure it out. I called the porta potty company, and I talked to the lady, and I said, who ordered it? When were they ordered? Well, we're not allowed to give out that information. We're directed by the police not to respond to those questions.
And let me stop you. What about them bringing the kids back into the crime scene?
Oh, absolutely. Why would they ever do that? You know, and but the big thing, Alex, here with the porta potty, there's somebody at the command center that morning who's thinking about porta potties, but he's not ordering the trauma helicopters. He's not letting the paramedics in the
No, it was a PR carnival.
And then they're ordering lunch. I mean, you can see the police vehicles. Who eats lunch when you have a mass casualty?
I would be vomiting and in the bathroom breaking down and crying.
Well, at least they got porta potties, so when they're eating their lunch during a massive killing, it just, you know what, it just angers me, and every American will get angry about this, and they need to.
By the way, I've seen car wrecks with dead people where I pulled over to help folks that wrecked, and I did vomit. I couldn't imagine having a six-year-old daughter seeing a bunch of dead 5- and 6-year-olds. I guarantee you, I wouldn't be eating lunch.
He aligns himself with the truth, and it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
Sorcerer of death's construction. In the fields of bodies burning.
Brainwash minds. Well, we have George Galloway on with us for the next 40 minutes or so, 45 minutes or so. He is a British politician, writer, broadcaster, and Respect Party member of Parliament from Bradford West. And he is very well known for testifying before the U.S. Congress. He is very well known for exposing the Iraq war as a lie and a fraud before it happened. Then they, of course, murdered Dr. David Kelly to try to cover that up. He helped expose that. He's been pushing for Tony Blair and others to be held for war crimes, which they clearly have done by every yardstick. We've had members of the U.S. Senate look at it and say, clearly, it's a war crime. They fixed the intelligence. The White House memo, the Downing Street memos have all come out. We know. Prima facie, cookie you know, jar, hand in the cookie jar, red-handed, we have them. George, thank you for coming on the show.
It's a pleasure, Alex. Nice to talk to you again.
Where would you like to start? There's so much to talk about.
Well, I think the most immediate crisis is the one now in the Ukraine, the Crimea, with Russia, and the Cold War beginning to encroach upon our toes. My toes are feeling distinctly frosty with all the rhetoric, which takes us back to the 1970s, 1980s. And having had a period of honeymoon, Russia appears to be back as public enemy number one. And the hypocrisy that's being deployed would be laughable if it were not so serious. In Britain, for example, we have a government which in 1982 sailed 7,000 miles all the way to the South Atlantic to defend the rights of self-determination of 2,300 British settlers on what they call the Falkland Islands. They fought a devastating war in which many hundreds were killed, many more were maimed, and billions of pounds in treasure were burned in order to come to the aid of what we said were our compatriots, even though we'd planted them there in the first place. Equally, our government, if Spain were to have the temerity to just severely increase the traffic restrictions on traffic going from Spain to Gibraltar and vice versa, we'd be ready to go to war with Spain, because we say that the rock which is attached to Spain actually belongs to us. And yet the same government warns Russia of condign punishments to come because they intervened to safeguard their vital national interests, and millions of their compatriots, Russian nationals, Russian speakers, whose lives and property were very obviously at risk from a Western-sponsored and paid-for and logistically armed in every way coup d'etat in the neighboring country of Ukraine. I could go on, but I just will give one more example of the hypocrisy, or perhaps two. The Kosovo, which is a part of Serbia, declared itself unilaterally to be an independent state. And 110 countries in the world have recognized it, recognized this self-declared independence. And guess what? Both my country and yours are amongst the 110 countries that have recognized it.
And look at South Sudan. Exactly. Look at South Sudan.
Just one more. Permit me, South Sudan, but permit me one more irony. John Kerry, with a solemn face, said that we can't have countries invading others and seizing territory on trumped-up pretext. And he didn't even have the grace to laugh. When just 11 years ago, exactly yesterday, Britain and the United States, in their shock and awe invasion and attack on Iraq, began a process which has murdered a million souls, destroyed Iraq, shattered it into pieces, and sent cascading around the world Islamist fundamentalist fanatic extremism all over the globe, all in the name of Britain and America arrogating to themselves the right to do whatever they please, irrespective of the decision of the United Nations or of anything called international law. You couldn't make it up, Alex.
Incredible the way George Galloway puts it. Total veritas. I agree with you 100%. And Ron Paul on the libertarian right came out and wrote articles and said exactly what you just said, almost word for word, because it is just the truth. Neither one of you is plagiarizing the other. It's just the truth. And they are calling him basically a KGB agent. Sir, continuing, is there a method to the madness in Syria, in Libya? Because, I mean, this looks like something the devil would do. Just to try to wreck any stability. What's the game plan?
Well, I wish I knew. I shared a lift with William Hague, the British foreign minister, just a week or two ago. And I said to him, William, you've been wrong all of your life, but I've never known you to be actually insane. Yet the policy you're following in Syria is literally insane. You have inflated, financed, and armed Al-Qaeda in Syria on the principle that your enemy's enemy was your friend. Yet now you tell us that returning fanatics coming back from Syria, now that they're losing the war, are Britain's number one security concern. So you've made more dangerous the very people that you say are our number one national security threat. This has to be defined as insanity, doesn't it?
It is. And I've been following politics for decades, but never have seen something this surreal. Where is it going as the open mental illness, the fascist mental illness, just explodes and metastasizes?
Well, I'm now making a movie called The Killing of Tony Blair. It's not a snuff movie. It doesn't involve me killing Tony Blair, though that would probably be quite a popular movie. It's about the killings of Tony Blair, the killings carried out by Tony Blair, and the financial killing that he is making as a result of the other killings that he had been doing. And so I hope that we'll get him sacked as the Middle East peace envoy, the most grotesque appointment since Caligula appointed his horse as a proconsul of Rome. I hope that it will stop companies from hiring him. He's made more than £75 million, so $100 million, since leaving office, working for the tyrants and the companies that he so handsomely profited and benefited when he was in office. And I'm about to start making a movie to try and punish the American political class. It's called Where's Kenny Boy? It fastens on the criminal Kenneth Lay, who may or may not have died of a heart attack just before being sentenced for his crimes in the collapse of Enron, and may or may not be living on a 100,000-acre ranch owned by George Bush in Paraguay, cheek by jowl with the biggest American base in the region, just so people who want to look over the fence might be discouraged from doing so.
Oh, absolutely.
And we're now crowdfunding for that movie.
George Galloway, we got to go to break.
It's called Where's Kenny Boy? And your viewers and listeners, I hope, will go to Start, Join, and support it.
Okay, George, stay there. We're going to come back from break, and we'll talk about the film, because I followed this, and I'm glad you're making it. And I hope folks will support it, because clearly he staged his death 2 days before sentencing and has been seen down there at the Bush Ranch. I mean, they sheep-dipped him, folks. They stage deaths all the time. George Galloway's our guest. Stay with us. Now, George Galloway, I've been ranting here. I want to give you the floor. Tell us about the film. You're a serious guy. Basically, everything you said about Iraq came true, more than anybody, even more than Ron Paul or myself. What you said came true like it was, you know, prophetic. So you're a serious guy. If you think Ken Lay's really still alive, we're investigating it. I think he is. The evidence is there. Tell us about your film, your crowdsourcing, and then let's move forward to the big picture. What else is happening in the world and where you see us going?
Thank you, Alex. There's no evidence that he's dead. And all the circumstantial evidence is that he's still alive. And he cheated the American justice system and allowed his family to remain in control and ownership of his millions, his estates, and so on, by mysteriously dying of a heart attack in Colorado just 3 days before being sentenced for then one of the biggest frauds in corporate history. It prefigured the crash of 2008, and indeed Kenneth Lay prefigures the kind of villains that walked across the stage during the crash of 2008. Kenneth Lay was George W. Bush. He was the sponsor, primary sponsor of the political class, not just in the Republican Party, but in the Democratic Party, too. And when Bush flew down to Florida to fight the recount which made him president in the first place, he flew down in an Enron jet covered in Enron insignia. And then quickly, Enron collapsed. Billions of dollars were lost. He was convicted of a massive fraud 3 days before sentencing, and thus his family able to retain his millions. He was given permission to go to Colorado, where he died in the night of a heart attack, and then was promptly cremated. And nobody from the federal government, nobody from the FBI, nobody from the Justice Department actually saw his dead body before it was supposedly burned. And at his funeral, the entire American political class turned out to pay their respects to a man who had just been convicted of a gigantic super fraud of billions of dollars. Both the Bushes were there, but President Clinton was also there. President Carter was also there. What were they even doing at the funeral of a convicted criminal in this way? And of course, he went up in smoke. Or did he? Because conveniently at the same time, 100,000-acre ranch. Now, I know you're in Texas and everything's bigger in Texas, but for me, the idea that Bush owns a 100,000-acre ranch, that he bought it right next door to the American military base, and that you risk being shot for looking over the fence to see if you can spot Kenneth Lay, is all deeply suspicious. So I'm going to go to Paraguay.
Let's shift gears over into, if you're going to steal a million, why not steal a trillion? If you're going to lie a little and launch a whole war that kills a million people, according to Lancet, why not stage the death of one guy? Of course they did. The evidence is overwhelming. But let's get back into the other film you guys are crowdsourcing. And Kaiser better make these, because I know he's got the money to make them anyways. The point is people should support it, because I want to see these films, especially with you in them. What about Tony Blair? I mean, he clearly, with the Downing Street memo, the White House memo, well, you're the expert on it. I mean, we've got the evidence he's a war criminal. And if we can punish one of these criminals, even in the court of public opinion, it will stop them doing it next time.
Well, Alex, in the court of public opinion, Tony Blair is already tried and convicted. He's like that character in the movie Ghostwriter. He spends most of his time out of Britain because he can't walk down any street in Britain. Every time he sits down in a restaurant, somebody tries to perform a citizen's arrest upon him. And his Gauleiters and his lieutenants who suffer similar fates. And so in public opinion, this man is destroyed in Britain because it's seen that he lied us into a war in which a million people perished and which cascaded this extremism around the world that we've been talking about. But companies keep hiring him, banks in particular, but oil companies and other corporate interests, to a fantastic tune. It's never been known in British politics before for a former prime minister to do other than retire to a country estate, sedately advise us from time to time on international
matters. It's a delayed payoff.
Yeah, but now we've got a situation where the new class of politicians are being told, if you play ball with the right interests, they'll look after you after your term of office is over. And that is just fatal for the political system.
I agree.
Because if you're legislating for banks and the military industrial complex and other commercial interests, in their interests, with a view to them hiring you when you're finished, how can the public expect good governance as a result?
Sure. So how does it all end? How does it all end? Because it's clearly the fruit is rotting now. They're getting away with everything. And historically, that causes megalomania. How does it end? I mean, you predicted how all the other stuff would go the last decade. Well, what's going to happen now?
I think it'll end okay, Alex. And that's where maybe you and I would part company at this point in this sense. Because I believe that the fruit is rotting. It's falling off the trees in the sense that people have absolutely no faith in the political class which governs them, and they're right not to do so.
Oh, no, I agree with you.
That does not yet have a form, a physical form of an alternative power. at least not in your country or mine. In many other parts of Europe, for example, an anti-political class is beginning to germinate, to continue your metaphor, and is bearing new fruit. Some of it I like, some of it I don't like, but it's all new power coming through because people have entirely lost faith in the old ways. And the old ways are no longer able to govern as they were. Otherwise, we'd now be at war with Syria and Iran and with Russia and China on the other side of that war. In the British Parliament, we stopped dead the juggernaut of war, which was about to take off and begin bombing Syria. Because we did so, President Obama was not able to take off and do the heavy lifting, the majority of the bombing. We stopped the war on Syria.
No, George, I agree with you.
In it, and Iran would be a belligerent, and goodness knows where that would have all ended up. We stopped that because the political class is now terrified of the public. In Britain, the politicians know that the public hate them, regard them as thieves who fill their own pockets with the public's money,
sure,
and legislate for corporate interests, for vested interests, rather than in the interests of the people. And sooner or later, that will find its expression in new political parties, new political personalities, or radical changes in leadership and direction of the parties.
Well, let me add this, George. When I was in the UK last year to cover and protest Bilderberg, almost all the police, you name it, were telling us, hey, we're on your side. We hate the people in there. We know this is going on. We know there's a shadow government. And it was across the political spectrum. People were really angry in England. They're north of London and Watford. They're in the UK. So, no, we don't disagree. There's a huge awakening. But the political class is militarizing and racing to authoritarianism. And having the NSA and, your NSA spy on Parliament, spy on the Senate, to the point of, I mean, the battle's being joined is what I'm saying.
No, I agree with that. I'm just a little more confident than you. Perhaps I'm not. Forgive me if I'm wrong, that we will prevail. I don't believe we will go to authoritarianism. Fascism is not possible in the United States or the United Kingdom. I don't think the people would tolerate it. But that's not a fruit that falls off the tree. You have to shake the tree to make sure the people avoid that perilous fate. On that, definitely, we would agree. All that's required for the triumph of evil is that good men and women do nothing.
That's right.
And we've got to make sure, and you're busy on that, so am I, we've got to make sure that the people do what's necessary, sure, to do to stop that fate.
Well, I want to get you back as soon as you go down there to try to cover his ranch and give us coverage. And GeorgeGalloway.com, RespectParty.org. I really appreciate you spending time with us. And you've really went up against a lot. You know, they tried to destroy you when you exposed the Iraq war. And we all admire courage. So thank you so much for your time, George Galloway.
Thank you, Alex. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, sir. Wow, that was a powerful interview. And that guy's got a lot of courage, folks. I mean, let me tell you, they were killing people over in the UK opposing the war. And he was getting threatened. They were trying to put him in jail and stuff. And so you can say what you want about George Galloway. He has got a lot of courage. And we appreciate him coming on the show. And I hope those movies get made. All right, I'm going to come back, take phone calls in the next segment, the one after that. I'm going to talk to Scott and Rod and Ed and Patrick and JD and others. Get ready with your comments straight ahead. I'm Alex Jones with InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Real Alex Jones. But everything Galloway said, you can prove.